This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, great to be with you. This is going to be so awesome. I'm so excited to interview our famous doctor here, right?
From the newest program on Catholic Radio Indy here on all three of our stations here. So we want to welcome them aboard and also tell you when they are. They are at Saturday morning at 11 o'clock here. And we actually normally on Saturday morning have a kind of a block of regular local programs that we do here in Indianapolis. And when we heard about the Doctor being available, the Doctor program being available on Saturday mornings, we rearranged our program so that we could carry it.
We did. And our guest today, I know you guys are all wanting to know who our surprise guest is today. It's Dr. Thomas McGovern. He is the regular co-host of the new radio show and podcast, Dr. Doctor. The show originates on Redeemer Radio in Fort Wayne. And we are, as Jim mentioned, we are carrying it here on Catholic Radio Indy on Saturdays at 11 a.m. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you very much.
And we're all doing things new in this, I don't know if call it new normal, but Dr. Tom has been really wonderful in helping us try to get this. He does his own show, and he uses, tell him what you use, what your equipment you use there.
Well, you know, because of the coronavirus pandemic, we couldn't go into the radio station anymore. So we started using Skype, and then someone recommended Zoom. And then the day before they closed the stores, I went to Best Buy and purchased a Blue Yeti X microphone and then downloaded the software, played with things in Zoom. And now the three of us co-hosts can get some awesome sound and do it from home, and we save a 35-minute drive across town each way to the radio station.
And speaking of technology, while we've got a doctor on the phone, I was going to ask you, telemedicine all of a sudden has gone from kind of a fuzzy little concept that maybe someday we'd think about to a reality. What are your thoughts on telemedicine?
Well, telemedicine did help us through the early part of the pandemic. I'm in dermatology, a very visual specialty, and we had to cancel like 90% of patients. So the government thankfully increased reimbursement for telemedicine to be equivalent to if we were seeing a patient in the room. The problem with telemedicine is threefold. Number one, the quality of the images we get in dermatology, very poor. Secondly, it takes twice as long for a visit because people are, and nurses and doctors, are having trouble with technology. And third, because of that, we get reimbursed about half as much for our time, but it takes twice as long to do it. So it's not sustainable, but it is helpful. And plus, all the things the government did, there's no sign yet that they're going to continue them after the pandemic in terms of reimbursement. So once that goes away, the use of telemedicine will probably go down.
Do you anticipate that telemedicine will stay as a part of medicine into the future? Not as big as it has, but at least a minor part, or it'll go away altogether?
It will always be a part, but it will really depend on reimbursement. If we are not reimbursed for our time the same way as if the patient's in the room, we can't sustain our practices that way.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got started with the Doctor show and why you got started, maybe how long you've been doing that.
So I started helping out with trying to get a Catholic radio station in Northeast Indiana 20 years ago. And then once it was up and running, I was doing some two-minute between-show things called Man Alive in Christ. I've written a number of courses for men on various aspects of the faith, and it was called Man Alive. And for years, my friends, including Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who used to live in Fort Wayne, now works for EWTN nationally, said, you should have a show. I said, when? I'm a full-time doctor. So fast forward to 2017, the bishops of the country called the first convocation of Catholic leaders in 100 years. 1917 was the previous time. And so almost all the bishops, a bunch of representatives from their dioceses, and then a number of Catholic apostolates sent people to this convocation in Orlando, Florida, which is where you would pick to go, right? July 1st to 4th, it was insanely hot. So anyway, 32 of us from the Catholic Medical Association were there, 33 doctors. And they put me in charge of networking with a number of different groups. So one of the groups I wanted to network with was anyone from Catholic Radio. So we got this breakfast together at a breakfast restaurant one morning. Cindy Black, executive director of Redeemer Radio, was there. Andrew Mullally, one of my co-hosts, was there, and a number of docs from around the country. And by the end of the meeting, and some of those docs had had radio shows in their local cities. So we agreed that we needed a national show that represented the Catholic Medical Association. And Cindy volunteered to host it. And I had two friends up here in Fort Wayne that wanted to be part of it. But unlike me, they're real doctors, family practice, Dr. Mullally, OBGYN, Chris Stroud. I'm a dermatologist. And so that's how I got to be the regular co-host. They take turns co-hosting, but we do some episodes where it's just the three of us together. How did the name come up about? At this convocation of Catholic leaders, on July 3rd in Orlando, they had an outdoor Eucharistic procession. So they had all of us doctors wear our white jackets and hand out water bottles along the route. So we were highly visible. And after this sweat-inducing peripatetic excursion, we headed back into the conference center. And as Andrew and I walked in together in our white coats, there was a gentleman who opened the door for us, held it there, and then nodded to each of us in turn, saying, "Doctor, doctor." And I looked at Andrew and I said, "That's it. That's the name of our show."
That's awesome. What a great story. I'm glad you shared that with us. We're talking with Dr. Thomas McGovern. He is the regular co-host of the show Dr. Doctor, which originates out of Redeemer Radio in Fort Wayne and is being carried on the EWTN network, and we are too, and that's on Saturdays at 11 a.m. So you actually, something really, really exciting has recently happened. Your show was awarded the Gabriel Award. Tell us about that.
You know, that was the second exciting thing. The first one was really, we were just local and on podcast for a year and a half. And at that convocation meeting, I met Michael Warsaw from EWTN, and he said, "Well, give the show about a year, then pitch it to us." So on June 1st, 2019, they started carrying it. Thanks be to God. Then somebody, you know, the Catholic Press Association has these awards, and I knew that publications in the Catholic Medical Association had gotten some, and I was wondering, is there a category for us? And sure enough, there is a category for other forms of media called the Gabriel Awards, after, you know, St. Gabriel, patron saint of, you know, media and communications. So I figured, what the heck, let's submit something. So one of their categories was for storytelling, which they consider a series of at least three shows on the same theme. So we happened to do a series last year for a Respect Life in October with three shows on creative ways to save babies. I mean, we even had the president of Focus on the Family on, you know, an ecumenical outreach. He's a great guy, Jim Daly. We had the president of Students for Life of America, the founder of the Obria Network of Clinics, the head people for Women's Care Center, and the founder, who's actually here in Indiana, of the Baby Box Movement.
Oh, yeah.
And the judges apparently loved it. So we are thrilled to have such a young show to get a first prize award from, you know, all the Catholic radio stations that submitted anything with a series. So we're humbled, but we really have this vision that we want to be the go-to place for people who want to see where anything medical intersects with the Catholic faith.
Well, it's a really important niche, and I just think that there is such a demand. There is so much medical information out there, but, you know, having it, I guess, displayed or discussed about with that Catholic lens is really what EWTN and all these Catholic radio stations are all about. With that in mind, I want to ask you, how do you come up with your topics, and what topics do you cover? Because I actually listened, been listening the last couple days to all your shows, and I've got a lot of questions about some of those shows because they were all really good.
You.
The one with Teresa Tamio, but I won't go into all those yet right now. But talk a little bit about how you come up with your topics and what type of topics you cover, because it seems like you cover quite a bit.
We will cover anything medical. You know, one thing I've been saying lately is that, in a way, secular medicine is a type of heresy. And that a heresy is something that takes part of the truth and makes it the whole truth. That's what Chesterton would say. So what's missing in a lot of secular medicine is they say it's divorced from faith. Well, no, it's not. We are beings made of a soul and a body. And so we want to, you know, dispel that heresy by showing reality. So, of course, the initial topics had to do with people we knew who would want to be on the show and what they were experts in. It also had to do with, you know, kind of classic Catholic medical things like beginning and end of life ethics. But it's so much more than that. One of our guests, one of my favorite lines from any of our shows, Laura Kaljan from University of Iowa, said that every conversation, every interaction with a patient is a moral conversation. Everything is. So it influences how we view patients, how we treat patients. So we cover the gamut. Right now we're doing a series on different medical specialties. Last night we did an interview with a rheumatologist. You know, what the heck is that specialty? We just had a neurosurgeon on. We're going to have a psychiatrist on next week that's airing. But we also cover, you know, vaccines, hot topic. I just did a podcast-only episode on COVID vaccines with Debbie Vinage. She had something great to announce there. But we also covered, is there a moral duty to be vaccinated? Because in the most part, vaccines do more for others than ourselves. So that was fascinating. We've had a guy, you know, what are medical problems that are near and dear to my heart? Anxiety is one, 20% of people. So we have this psychiatrist from Harvard who's an Opus Dei numerary. He is outstanding. He's been some of the highest listened to episodes on practical ways to handle anxiety. And his episode on anxiety and prayer actually almost had the vice president of theology at EWTN turning cartwheels. I couldn't believe the positive response we got to that. But I get ideas from my friends. I'm always scanning, you know, medical literature. People, I'm on the CMA National Board, so I'm interacting with students, residents, physicians, and there's always ideas that are coming into my inbox.
Now, if this sounds like something, as a listener is listening, says, boy, that sounds really interesting. When did you say that show is again? It is Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock here on Catholic Radio Indy. So if you haven't tuned in yet, make it a point. Saturday mornings at 11, the Doctor program here on Catholic Radio.
Well, one thing I was thinking about as I was driving over here in terms of you know, you mentioned that your doctor, your specialty is dermatologist. You're a dermatologist. And that I wonder, you know, even though you are a medical doctor and spent all these years in training and in school, I'm wondering, I'm guessing you learn a lot when you hear about all these various specialties. Is that true? Talk a little bit about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I'm kind of a Myers-Briggs junkie, and I'm an INTJ, and there's nothing INTJs love more than learning, more than taking classes, books on tape, great courses, whatever. So this is like an outlet that has just been waiting to be open. So, yeah, I put about 3 hours of prep time into every hour show, learning more. And that's how, you know, with this coronavirus thing, we did over 40 podcast-only episodes. We never had done podcast-only before. Now we've done them, and they're getting about 1,200 listens per episode. And we're interviewing, you know, doctors from around the country and even in Hong Kong. And so because of that, I've been on the task force. You may have heard of the Thomistic Institute out of Washington, D.C. So I'm one of the docs helping with the guidelines for mass reopening. The bishops use this document to set their own guidelines. But I also did 2 years of infectious disease research before dermatology.
Well, that's really interesting. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, going back and the country opening up and the mask guidelines when we return. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy. Saturday mornings are something special on Catholic Radio Indy. Start the day off right with some food for thought on the Catholic Cave at 9 a.m., followed by an hour of today's music on Catholic Jukebox Indiana at 10. Then it's time for Dr. Doctor at 11 and 2 episodes of Faith in Action at noon. A great way to start the weekend from your friends at Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm actually back in the studio and so happy. First time in a long time. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, and we have our guest, the famous, one of the doctors of the new Doctor show, Dr. Thomas McGovern of Fort Wayne and of Redeemer Radio. You do live in Fort Wayne, right?
I do live in Fort Wayne, yes.
I know there's some people that might be on working at Redeemer Radio that maybe live outside the area. But, Jim, you got a question.
Well, I just had a question before the break there. You mentioned podcasts, and you said there's a whole bunch of them. Those sound interesting. Where would people be able to hear those?
Oh, there's over 150 of them. Any podcast app. I use Podcast Addict myself, but it's on Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. So if you just go on a podcast app and put doctor, you should find us. And if that doesn't do it, just add Catholic to doctor.
All right. Very good. Hey, I have a question that I asked another doctor that we had on, and it's just kind of a question of words of the difference between pandemic and epidemic. Is there a difference?
Sure.
Are they the same thing?
A pandemic would be a subset of an epidemic. So an epidemic is in one region. Pan, from the Greek for all, a pandemic is in all regions of the world. And it's so funny, in one of our episodes, we talked on March 8th when we recorded that, who has decided never to use the term pandemic again? 3 days later, on March 11th, they said, this is a pandemic.
Oh my gosh. Well, you mentioned, but before the break, you mentioned something about you being on a board to help with the reopening of Mass. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, I mean, we're all trying to figure that out.
Oh, sure. I thank these guys for letting me play in the infectious disease sandbox for a while. For 2 years, I did research at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. And plus, I've gained a lot of information from a lot of the interviews we've done. So this group was actually put together by Father Dominic Legge, L-E-G-G-E, and an infectious disease doctor, Tim Flanagan, who's also a Catholic deacon in Rhode Island. They were just starting to answer questions back in March. How can we go into homes and do sacraments? And it morphed into this bigger panel of people, of experts, because I got so many questions. How are we going to open up again? So I was invited on toward the end of April and have been able to help put together some of the guidelines. And our guidelines have no force, no rule behind them. They are just resources for the bishops to use. And we've been told, you know, Archbishop Blair, who heads the USCCB Committee on Liturgy, has said this has been helpful to him. Many of the priests have called in, have been helpful. In fact, just this last week, we released documents for baptism and confirmation several weeks earlier, ordination. And simply what we're trying to do is two things. Mass is essential, number one, and number two, it can be done safely. And it can be done safely within the guidelines that have been given by the various states, because the state departments of health are where the legal line is. That's who we have to follow.
Now, I was wondering, what is magical about the 6-foot social distancing? I mean, 5 feet, 11 inches, you're in bad shape. 6 foot, 1 inches, you're absolutely...
That is an excellent question. It's something we're constantly reviewing because there is not enough information on this. It originally came, I think, in the SARS pandemic or the SARS epidemic of 2002-2003, in looking at airplane flights. They noticed that, you know, it would go about 2 rows, but not beyond that, you know, of where somebody was sitting. It's not great. In fact, just this morning, I was reviewing an article that our diocesan liturgist sent me on the fluid dynamics of singing and wind instruments and how far different things go out. And usually in those, they don't seem to go out more than a meter. So he's questioning, should we rethink our discouraging of singing? But in the same article, they talk about in 4 different countries where there were these enormous outbreaks in choirs, and he can't explain them. And until we can explain how that happened, even though they were distancing, what can we do? So we're suffering from a horrible lack of information.
And that kind of leads into one of the other questions that Jim and I talked about before we got started, and that is, you know, I think that there is some frustration among people in that the goalposts of what we're supposed to be doing just seems to keep moving. And, you know, I'm sure it's frustrating for everybody. We're all just trying to do the right thing. And then people like say, well, yeah, I'm not going to do that because, you know, last week I was supposed to do that. Now I'm supposed to do this. So can you give us some advice or guidance on how to deal with the information that's changing and how to, we all understand that we don't know a lot about this yet. So
how to deal with changing information? Do you mean particularly for the church?
Well,
in general,
I think in general, as it relates to the virus, and, you know, being told, you know, we were told to flatten the curve, and then, you know, 2 weeks, which is wonderful.
Well, you know, what's interesting is one of my friends in infectious disease, a Catholic philosopher, and I just submitted a little over a week ago a pretty wide-ranging article looking at the question, is the treatment of the pandemic worse than the disease itself? So we go through all the harms we know about the virus, all the harms of the social distancing and closing and, you know, not having people come to see the doctor as much. And then what is the Catholic social teaching way through? Because we're trying to evaluate that all based on data, mm-hmm. not just on what we would like to do. Well, we flattened the curve. That's wonderful. We have not overwhelmed any emergency room, any ICU, even in New York City. Thanks be to God. So as we open up, we have at least 50 different experiments going on around the country in each of the states, because they're all doing things different ways.
Right.
And as we see the curves, the curve of cases, I do not think is particularly important, because we're testing more people. The curve of hospitalizations and deaths, that's going to be more important. But even better than that, and one of my friends, Dr. Paul Carson, infectious disease, led me to this on the CDC website. And you can just Google excess mortality on CDC website, and you will see that every state in the country, and the country as a whole, every week, has a predicted number of deaths. And if there's a certain number above that, then we have excess mortality. The last time we had excess mortality in the U.S., the 2017-18 winter flu season. Did we close down anything? No, we didn't. Now we have excess deaths again, and to a greater degree than we had before, and it's very reasonable to assume that those excess deaths, in this case, can be ascribed to COVID. Actually, we were having a really bad influenza year this year until COVID hit. But now all the states are under excess mortality. So I think, and this is just me, Tom McGovern, this is no official body, as long as we stay under that excess death curve with how much we're opened up, we should be able to stay that opened up with those rules and gradually see what happens in different places. And some states never even went over excess mortality. So there you go.
That's a really interesting fact that I think some of our listeners are going to be going out of the CDC looking under excess mortality, because that is a very unique metric,
yes.
You know, to really...
Because it looks at everything, not just one disease.
Absolutely. Okay, we got about 5 minutes left here. I want to get into the Catholic Medical Association, because that's such an awesome organization. Tell us a little bit about that, the mission of that organization, and why it has such great value.
Well, the Catholic Medical Association, which can be found online at CathMed.org, our vision is that to inspire physicians to imitate Jesus Christ. Our mission is to form and support current and future physicians to live and promote the principles of the Catholic faith in the science and practice of medicine. So we want you, our patients, to always have physicians who have the best of your body and spirit in mind. And right now, we only represent about 1% of all Catholic physicians. We figure there are over 200,000 Catholic physicians, and there's only about 2,000 in the CMA now. But that's up from 300 20 years ago and has been slowly increasing. But we're not just about beginning and end-of-life ethics. We are reaching on our fastest growth. Pre-med students, medical students, and residents are coming to us in droves, and they are dynamic and solidly Catholic. It is a wonder to behold. In fact, one of the other things I do in the CMA, I'm in charge of the Young Member Advisory Committee that now does outreach to pre-med students. We've been doing at focus conferences like SEEK in India 19 and
yeah.
SLS, and also the residents and students. So it's incredible what these people are like, and we just want more people who want to live their life fully as Catholics, as doctors. So if there's any doctors out there, please, there's 109 guilds around the country in different cities, including a great one in Indianapolis.
We have just a couple minutes left. I want to ask you what this has been like for you personally and for your faith in terms of being on the Doctor. I mean, you seem really energized in doing this. I think you're probably just an energized person in general, and that's really awesome. It's because you're Irish. You know, Jim and I are both Irish, so we've got to throw that in there. But but tell me about that. Tell me how it's been for you personally, like, and with your faith life.
I love it. You know, I give talks on how people can find joy in their life, and it comes from the intersection of three things: what you're passionate about, what you're good at, and what the world needs. And so for me, Doctor fulfills those three things, because the world needs good medical advice from a solidly Catholic perspective. I am passionate about teaching, so I look at this not as media as much as I do as teaching, as education. And somehow God has given me gifts to do that, and I think when any of us use the gifts we've been given, we are more joyful, we are more fulfilled.
Well, we're down to less than 2 minutes in our program here, and we had a question that we hadn't got to yet, but it doesn't really have anything to do with Catholic medicine, but more with Yahoo and Google medicine. As soon as somebody gets a symptom, they rush to the internet and find out all about it, and then they're experts on it, right?
Absolutely. It's probably going to replace medicine. There'll be less students accepted to medical school, and the world will function much better.
Or not.
It's amazing, because oftentimes there's the worst of what can happen, and there's wrong things. I think if someone has a diagnosis, there are many good websites to go to. You know, WebMD, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, et cetera, are good, but I would not recommend using it for self-diagnosis.
So that's a no on do not self-diagnose via Google. Okay, we just want to clarify that. Jim, you got something else?
No. I was just saying we are in the final minutes of our program here. If you would give us the address where people can find the podcasts again.
The podcast, you just have to search on any podcast website, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. It's housed at SoundCloud. It's just Doctor. So the podcast-only episodes and everything that went on EWTN is all housed there, all 150-plus.
And you can hear the Doctor or Doctor here on Catholic Radio Indy Saturdays at 11 a.m., so you're going to want to tune in then. And Dr. Thomas McGovern, the regular co-host of the new show, Doctor, thanks so much for being our guest today.
It's been a pleasure. You asked great questions. I had a blast.
So did we. God bless you. We'll be in touch. We gotta talk more technology sometime.
Happy to do that.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.